You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with another insane NBA finish. You will hear how a Hall of Famer inspired a play that may have just changed everything. Then, Captain Kang. What surprise are he and his coach cooking up that the entire league has never seen before? We'll be there. And division predictions to the AFC North, where everyone thinks the answer is easy. And I say, not so fast. My pick is on the way in this hour of Get Up starting right now. Greeny on a Friday from Bristol. Let's waste no time. An unbelievable finish in the NBA playoffs. Let's take you to the bubble where the Celtics were looking to put the Raptors on ice. Already up 2-0. Looking to go up 3-0 on the defending champs. Just over 3 minutes to play. Celtics up a deuce. Fred VanVleet. Oh, we got a turnover. Oh, we're going the other way. Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is in trouble. And then he's out of trouble. Jaylen Brown with authority. He had 19 points, 12 boards. Celtics up 4, under 30 to go. Raptors down a deuce. Van Vliet, how good has he been? Switches hands, 25 for him. We're tied at 101. Shot clock turned off. Under 10 seconds to play. Kemba trapped. Kemba in traffic. Oh, what a pass! Kemba for Daniel Theis for the uncontested dunk with 0.5 remaining. Look at the play by Kemba. It would appear he has just ended the championship reign of the Toronto Raptors. A 3-0 lead is insurmountable. Look at the defense. Look at Theis. How about the vision from Kemba Walker? So Celtics up 2. Raptors season on the line. They call timeout. 0.5 remaining. The enormous taco fall. Defending the inbound. Brian Anderson, TNT.
Series on the line. Ananobi got it off and it goes. Did it count is the question. OG Ananobi buries a triple at the buzzer.
What an unbelievable play. Count it did. OG Ananobi keeps the Raptors season alive. Let's talk.
My shot, I expected to make it. So like, I don't shoot trying to miss. Like every shot I shoot, I try to make it. So I was not act surprised because I wasn't surprised.
0.5 on the clock. We just needed one stop to win the game, and we ended up losing.
What an incredible finish that is. OG Ananobi is 23 years old. He's the third youngest player to make a game-winning buzzer beater in the playoffs. Luka Doncic did it a week ago. Derek McKee is the other. He's also just the second Raptor to make one following Kawhi in last year's conference semifinals. Much more on this game and this finish as our morning continues. But huge news from college football. It was just a few short weeks ago. The Pac-12 joined the Big Ten in postponing all fall sports with a possible spring return. But a new development in daily rapid testing may allow football to come back sooner than we expected, perhaps even before January 1st. That is according to the conference commissioner, Larry Scott. And we have full coverage on this here with Heather Dinich, who's all over it. Paul Feinbaum and Rob Ninkovich, who played in the Big Ten, are here. But Heather, we need to start with you. You were on that call with the Pac-12. There is huge news coming from there. What are the most important things the fans need to know?
Well, I think two things. These machines are going to be on every Pac-12 campus by the end of this month. So that does open the door to consider at least returning to football games before the January 1 mark that the Pac-12 originally said that they were going to wait until at least. Now, remember, though, they are still being driven by data and science. I think the second thing that came off of that call with Commissioner Larry Scott yesterday was the fact that he said he spoke to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren and made it clear that the Pac-12 would like to align with the Big Ten in terms of returning to competition so that they could have an opportunity to play some of those traditional postseason games. And he didn't come out and say the Rose Bowl, but you know he was certainly talking about it.
Absolutely. So those are the two important things. You were seeing video here of these new machines they have where the players apparently can be tested and get the results so quickly that they really feel that is a game changer as far as their ability to return to play. And then the possibility of alignment with the Big Ten the traditional rivals so that perhaps you have what feels like a more meaningful season. Paul Feinbaum, how meaningful do you think this is?
I think it's significant, but the most important thing right there is the synergy between the two leagues. Remember, when you go back to August 11th, the Big Ten announced at 3 o'clock it was shutting down. At 3:45, it was the Pac-12. These two are married. That's why they play the Rose Bowl every year. And to me, if the Big Ten starts early while the Pac-12 does not start until January, there's no Rose Bowl. And the Rose Bowl is the key. It's one of the most valuable properties in all of sports. And you can't have a Rose Bowl without the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Although one thing to remember, as Heather knows and as everyone knows, on January 1st, the Rose Bowl is one of the semifinal games. So that means there would be a second game out there if these two can get together. And that's the real question, Greeny.
That's exactly right. It is a college football playoff semifinal. So that sets up the scenario, whether they decide to call that the Rose Bowl or not, a scenario where we have two Rose Bowls this year, which is just one of many extraordinary circumstances that we have. So, Rob Ninkovich, you played in the Big Ten. You understand what all of this is and what it means to the players. What do you think? Do you think that the players will go for that if they start a season sometime around Thanksgiving? Do you think we will see football in the Big Ten?
100%. Look, when you're 19, 20 years old, you just want to know where and when. You want to go play football. So these guys, these kids that don't have a football season, all they want to do is play football. So if they can figure out a process here where they can get football back, I feel like the athletes are going to play no matter what. It's the top guys that are first-round picks that are going to have an agent in their ear. Those probably are the guys that won't play. But your underclassmen and your seniors that really aren't first-round type grades on them, they're going to want to go play football. It doesn't matter at what point in the season or time in the year, they're going to go play football. That's what I would do if I was 20 years old again.
Okay, so in case you're wondering, well, look, the Big Ten, they're starting to talk about playing. The Pac-12, now they're starting to talk about playing. What are the chances that everyone starts at the same time, that maybe these other conferences wait for them? Well, that question was raised to Dabo Swinney yesterday, the head coach of Clemson. He had a very definitive answer. This was Dabo Swinney.
We're ready to roll. And, that would be something I wouldn't be in favor for. I'm all in favor of them playing. Love for them to play. That'd be great. But we wouldn't want to push the season into February and all that stuff. We're going to push forward. Something changes, it changes. But, that's where we are right now.
All right, so that's what we would expect the coach to say. Heather, what have you heard from others, the people who actually will make these decisions about the other conferences and the likelihood that they just go forward?
Well, look, again, I have to remind everybody constantly that this could change any minute. They want to play September 26th. On September 25th, they might say, we can't do this because it's no longer safe. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby has told me specifically, nobody is declaring victory. I mean, this continues to be a week-by-week assessment of what things look like on college campuses. We have to get through the Labor Day holiday to see how that impacts the coronavirus pandemic. So there are still a lot of questions, but CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock has told me we are planning for a CFP, those semifinals, and the championship in Miami on January 11th. So that's where they are right now.
Paul, what do you think? Any chance that the conferences that are going forward change their mind and decide to wait?
None, Greeny. There are football games. We had two football games last night. We have a couple of more games this weekend and Monday night right here. And nobody is going to stop and wait for two leagues that prematurely announced that they're not playing. So I'm really glad, and I think everyone's glad to see the Big Ten and the Pac-12 start moving forward to a restart, but it's too late for them. Nobody is going to wait it, not one day.
Rob Ninkovich, a quick final thought here. The players who figure to go high in the draft, they're going to look at a season that goes into the spring. What would be the cutoff point? If you were a first-round pick, would you opt out? If you were a draft-eligible player who figured to be drafted, where is the line here between players who will and won't play in your mind in the Big Ten and Pac-12?
Look, it'd have to be somewhere after Thanksgiving. Once you start getting into December, after those dates, think about the temperatures that you're going to play in certain locations, which could potentially cause injuries. So, I think that if you're a top draft pick and you have an agent who most of these seniors that are about to go into the draft have these agents, they're trying to take care of their investments. So we would see if they could get the season done before that, great. But If it was after Thanksgiving, I think that that would be a hard line for some of these guys.
All right, so we will wait and see. This could be an enormous development in college football, and Heather will obviously have the latest. Guys, thank you. I have breaking news that is just coming in to my newsroom and into my ear as we speak, and it comes from our NFL insider, Adam Schefter. The Washington football team is releasing running back Adrian Peterson. Diana Rossini covered that team for years. She joins us live now this morning. Diana, what more can you tell us again? And Rob Ninkovich with us as well. Good morning, Diana. Adrian Peterson being released in Washington. What can you tell us?
Yeah, good morning. This is all developing right now. And we know one thing about this offense in Washington right now, and that's that they really like versatility at the running back position. The initial shock of this is due to the fact that there really haven't been a lot of grumblings from Washington about his camp. If anything, I've heard nothing but great things about Adrian Peterson's production at camp and his development and his mental focus. But remember, this is a 36-year-old running back who's been on four teams now, and I'm talking to a source in Washington right now, and he said, for us, it's really just because we like our younger guys. It's really just about an age thing for us and the fit, and for us, it's time to move on. So while it may seem like a surprise, I don't think this is a shocking surprise to the staff, who perhaps maybe knew way earlier that they were going to move on from Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I'm looking it up here again as far as how old he is. He's 35 years old. He's been productive even in the last few seasons there in Washington. Does this feel like the end? For this is one of the most productive running backs in the history of the sport, Diana, as he is released. Is he someone who you would expect, we should expect to get picked up somewhere else?
I do. I do expect Adrian Peterson to be on a team. We can talk about his age, but we know that he's done a great job of sort of fooling all those, or at least poo-pooing all those that think that he's done. You know, teams that need running backs right now, you got to figure maybe Bruce Arians down in Tampa is got his eyes on Adrian Peterson. Obviously, we don't know anything just yet. This is all just happening. But I certainly have confidence that Adrian Peterson will be on a team come the start of this season.
Listen, I'm just looking at the numbers here. The last 2 years in Washington, 2 years ago, he ran for over 1,000 yards. Last year, he ran for just under 900 yards. So he's been productive. Rob Ninkovich, you must have played against Adrian Peterson. Tell us about that guy when he was at his best, just how good he was.
Yeah, he basically almost tore my arm off one time and had to have shoulder surgery after that season. So he's a very strong runner, very powerful. I know firsthand how strong he is as a runner. I know he's older now, but look, I wouldn't put it past a team like the Patriots who need an early down back to go after a guy like him. He still has a little bit of juice in the tanks. If he still wants to play football, he's going to have an opportunity to play in the NFL. So don't put it past New England. They need an early down, first and second down back.
All right, that's one to keep an eye on. Again, 35 years old, extraordinarily productive, even in the last 2 years. Adrian Peterson released today by Washington. We'll see what his next stop is. Guys, stay with me. Much more football to come. And we'll go to New England. Not only was Cam Newton named the Patriots starter yesterday, he was given another honor. You will hear what that was and why Bill Belichick did it coming up. And then Ben Roethlisberger coming in the season of major injury. I believe he and the Steelers will have a big year, and I will tell you why as we continue. Get up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by RE/MAX. Nobody in the world sells more real estate than RE/MAX. And by Disney's Mulan, now streaming for Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. All right, time for your morning wake-up call. Here is how Canada heard the Raptors' crazy last-second win last night.
Kyle will inbound. Ananobi catch and shoot. Down the bottom of the well for OG Ananobi. Toronto wins it. OG splashes it home on the cross-court pass from Lowry. Toronto is back in the series as OG splashes it down.
Wow.
I have seen it all.
That's the call on TSN last night. Here's Big Perk with me to talk about an unbelievable final play that saves a team's season. That's the defending champs who are half a second away from going down 3-0. Big Perk, walk me through that final play. How did they do it?
Well, when you look at it, I mean, they had Kyle Lowry taking the ball out, and you have a 7'6" Taco Fall guarding him. And what happened? They ran a back screen and it was miscommunication between Tice and Jaylen Brown, which left OG open, and he was ready. And Kyle, and look, Greeny, people don't understand how hard that pass is to make, but it was on time, it was on target, and I knew OG was gonna hit that shot because he had been knocking down three-point shots this entire series.
Let's go through the variety of things that have to happen. As you just point out, he has to first of all execute the pass over or around Taco Fall, who is 7.5 feet tall. Then Anunoby has to get the shot off in 0.5 seconds. So he's got to catch and shoot basically instantaneously. The degree of difficulty of that play is just incredible. Meanwhile, we played some sound earlier from Jaylen Brown, who was just disgusted. If you're the Celtics, Big Perk, how do you feel after you give up that play in that spot to lose that game?
Well, it's hard, Greeny. It's hard. But if I'm the Celtics, I got to move on. I got to flush that down the toilet for the simple fact that, you know, they are the best team in this series. They're up 2-1. They can't reflect and look back on this game. They got to let this go. But you saw the soundbite of Jaylen Brown, and he was pissed off. This is a young, mature Celtic team that harped their hat on mental toughness and harped their hat on maturity. They don't like messing up defensively. They're tied on one string, so you better know that the Celtics are gonna come out with a chip on their shoulder in game four, especially Jaylen Brown.
You told me a few weeks ago that you believed the Raptors were gonna win the Eastern Conference. Clearly, the Celtics have looked through three games like the better team. Right now, who do you expect? I'm giving you a total mulligan if you've changed your mind. Who do you expect to win the series right now, 2-1 Boston?
Well, Greeny, I'm not going back on what I said. I still got the Raptors in six because, look, the Raptors pulled together collectively. You look at that feisty backcourt with Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry, they came out swinging. I mean, they emptied a clip last night. So I'm still picking the Raptors. And just because of their championship pedigree and their feistiness and their will to win. And Kyle Lowry, the greatest Raptor of all time, he's not going out like that. So I'm waiting to see what game four got in store for us.
All right, we will wait and see. Big Perk sticking with his pick. I'll be back to you in a couple of minutes. Big fella, stay with me. Meanwhile, back to the NFL I go. You've already seen Diana Rossini with the news on Adrian Peterson. Let's run the hurry up. Diana, as you talk to coaches around the league, how do they feel at this point because of the unusual circumstances of this offseason?
Well, they're paranoid like normal, but they're also very anxious. The lack of preseason games has really given teams and coaches, GMs, even players I've spoken to, a lot of mystery to what they're actually going to be. I spoke to one player with New England yesterday on defense, and he said, I expect this to be the ugliest football we've probably ever played on national TV. So obviously lots of concerns of how it's going to come about. Meantime, New Orleans, what a week it's been there. When it comes to Alvin Kamara and the discussions there in terms of his contract, we heard that they were perhaps looking to trade him for a first round pick. I'm told all is good. Both sides are having really good discussions and both sides feel good. A deal is going to get done and both will be very happy coming out of it. Meantime, talking about the New Orleans Saints, they're also in the Jadeveon Clowney sweepstakes right now. And Greeny, these guys are all in on getting Clowney to New Orleans. When I say all in, I mean they are sending people from their staff to Houston, where Clowney is right now, to meet with him to convince him that, hey, we may not have the money for you, but you want to come play for the Saints because we are a championship caliber team who's got 11 televised games on TV this year that you're going to want to be part of, and perhaps maybe you could get a bigger deal if you come out and have a productive one-year season with them. But the Tennessee Titans, they're sitting there waiting because they've got the money, and they certainly got the scheme on defense and the familiarity with Mike Vrabel to make JD feel very comfortable. So it's coming down to both the New Orleans Saints and the Tennessee Titans.
All right, that's an interesting one, and obviously a really important player less than a week before the start of the season. Meanwhile, Diana, the news that many expected, now it has happened. Bill Belichick has named Cam Newton the team's starting quarterback and announced that Cam would be one of the team's offensive captains in just his first year with the team. Cam Newton posted an image of the captains to Instagram saying in part, New England, I will not and do not take this opportunity for granted. I'm so grateful for this organization, my teammates, and this city. I've got Rob Ninkovich with me here this morning. Rob, you were a captain in New England at one time. So what does that mean to you, the fact that Cam, who basically just got there, is one of the captains for the Patriots?
Look, you don't see many NFL quarterbacks not the captains of their team. So, you know, for me, for him to come in 3 weeks to be the captain, I think it speaks a lot about what he has done so far. But look, when I watch all these teams go out for the coin toss, the majority of the starting quarterbacks are the captains. So there's a psychological thing here to talk about Cam Newton in a way that Bill has and just recently talked about how great he has been since he's walked into that building. So when I see that he is the captain and then name the starter on the same day, it doesn't surprise me because they want him to be high in confidence going into week one, going out there to try and execute at a high level. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he's the captain. He might need to still ask for directions around the building to some of the guys that have been there, though.
That is the remarkable part. He just got there and now he's the captain. Diana, quickly, what are you hearing coming out of New England? I got just a moment.
So it's been going on for the last few weeks. Every time I've been checking in with New England players about Cam's overall production, you know, just a week ago, I got, well, he's getting all the reps. What do you think? So this is absolutely no surprise that Cam Newton won this job. In terms of him being named captain, we know, as Nick mentioned, this is voted by the players. So that tells you they not only trust him in the huddle, they trust him in the locker room. And it certainly says a lot for a guy who had coaches in the same division texting me that they did not believe that Cam Newton was going to be the starter. In fact, I had one assistant coach say he sees him getting cut before the season were to even start. So certainly a lot of confidence from the New England page that Cam Newton is the guy.
It went the opposite direction from that. All right, guys, sit tight. We have much more football coming, including it feels like the AFC North is Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to lose. But coming up in my division prediction, I will tell you one other team you should not be sleeping on. That's next. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up. We showed you the crazy finish, Boston-Toronto. How about game one of the Nuggets and Clippers last night? Well, this night belonged to Kawhi Leonard. Pick it up, middle of the second quarter, Clippers leading by 6. That is Kawhi at the top of the key, sets his feet. Now it's a 9-point game, and he was just warming up. Kawhi Leonard bringing it up. Kawhi Leonard pausing. Kawhi Leonard seeing space. Kawhi Leonard throwing it down. He had 19 in the first half. Clippers led by 18 at the break. Third quarter, more from Kawhi. Jeremy Grant playing defense. Jeremy Grant in some trouble. Clippers shot 57% from the floor in this game. Now it's Kawhi working on Millsap. Clippers extend the lead to 21 points. Under 5 to go in the third. Kawhi still out there and still unstoppable. Kawhi Leonard was 12 of 16 from the floor in this game last night, finished with 29 points. For good measure, here he is with just a little more. Kawhi and the Clippers easy in game one, 120-97. They take a 1-game-to-none lead. In other NBA news yesterday, Hall of Fame point guard Steve Nash, a 4-year contract. He's the new coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Just a little while ago this morning, Nets general manager Sean Marks was on ESPN Radio talking about the hire.
I've had a long relationship with Steve, and I know the type of character he is and the type of person he is and how he leads. You know, he led, you know, the Phoenix Suns that I was a part of, and I saw that firsthand. And the empathetic leader and the trust that he developed between coaching staff and 1 through 15 on the bench. It was impressive. That's nothing like I've ever seen before.
All right, so that was Sean Marks this morning. We are now going to debut a new feature called Change My Mind. It's something I do on the radio as well on my new radio show. And the bottom line of it is this, that Zach Lowe joins us this morning as well. Zach and Big Perk. Here's the deal. I consider myself, Zach, an open-minded person. So I'm going to state an opinion, and then if you disagree with me, I'm going to give you the opportunity to change my mind. Here's what I think. Here's why there's so much pressure on Steve Nash. Because if Kevin Durant is healthy, in my opinion, anything short of an Eastern Conference championship, anything short of an NBA Finals appearance next year is a disappointment for the Brooklyn Nets. That's what I think. Zach, change my mind.
I'm not going to change your mind, Greeny. I agree with you. Look, the Bucks are flailing. The Sixers flailed all the way out of here. The Celtics are rising. That's going to be an obstacle. The Raptors, if they lose this series, we'll see what happens. If you have Kevin Durant healthy, Kyrie Irving healthy, and a decent supporting cast, Heck yes, you're trying to get to the finals next year. You just paid Steve Nash and Jacques Vaughn a whole lot of money to do that. So I would love to change your mind. I would love to disagree with you and yell at you, but I can't. There's enormous pressure on Steve Nash walking into that job.
No, I'm much happier when you don't want to change my mind. Here we are in agreement. Big Perk, what do you think?
Well, both of y'all are wrong because the expectation is even higher. It's championship or bust. It's championship or bust. It's not just reaching the finals. You have a healthy KD and a healthy Kyrie. It's the same expectations that you're going to give to a LeBron James and Anthony Davis, a Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, a Russell Westbrook and James Harden. It is championship or bust. I don't care if this Steve Nash first time coaching and he has no experience. You have two of the top 10 players when healthy on your basketball team. It's the same expectations of, as anyone else. It is championship or bust.
I love it. Big Perk raising the stakes, not only not changing my mind, but taking it another level. I love it. Quickly, Zach, what did you think of the hiring of Nash? That story broke as we were finishing up the show yesterday. I was shocked. If only because I hadn't heard any speculation about it. What was your take on the Nash hiring in Brooklyn?
Very rare that something like this comes out of nowhere. This one did. It reminded me of Boston with Brad Stevens all those years ago. The first thing I thought of was I interviewed Steve Nash a couple of years ago about Kevin Durant, and he talked about how close they were. He talked about in offseason workouts how Kevin Durant, after their first championship at Golden State, would talk to him about he didn't feel fulfilled in the way he thought he would. He didn't feel like the championship made him any better or more complete as a player. That kind of human man-to-man relationship, that really, really matters when you're talking about coaches connecting with star players. So that was the first thing I thought of. Obviously, there's a lot of work to do from there. That's on Steve and his whole staff. But that relationship at the top is really important.
What do you think, Perk?
Look. I like the hire. Here it is, Greeny, that I'm always in when former players are able to get an opportunity like this. It was shocking to me also. I thought it was other candidates with experience that were well-deserving. But one thing that Sean Marks left out of his interview is that he had let the world know that this hiring with Steve Nash was KD-driven. Mm-hmm. It was Kevin Durant-driven. Kevin Durant signed off on this. So that's the only thing I could say, but I like it. I don't love it.
Okay, fair enough. We will see. Again, the stakes are very high. Guys, thank you very much. And you can see game one tonight on ESPN between LeBron and the Lakers and James Harden and the Rockets. Critical game one coverage starts tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN. It's on ESPN Deportes and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, we are 6 days away from opening kickoff of the NFL season, Texans and Chiefs, next Thursday. We are taking you around the NFL, breaking it down division by division. Next stop is the AFC North. Baltimore has the second best odds to win its division of any team in the league, behind only Kansas City. With quarterbacks new and old with something to prove, the North is going to be interesting. Here's what I think. The last time the Bengals won a playoff game, Joe Burrow wasn't born yet. He's a step in the right direction, but there's still a long way to go. The Browns finally figured out that what they needed were not more receivers or runners. They needed O-line. Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills might be the biggest additions of the year. Baker will be better. The coaching can't get worse.
This maddens me, how you can mismanage situations so poorly as a head coach.
Anything that's happened in the past does not affect our future.
Cleveland wins 9, makes the playoffs. So does Baltimore, of course. Lamar Jackson is the goods, and he's only going to get better. They also add Calais Campbell, so the D should be better too. Ravens are a legit Super Bowl contender, but they won't win the division. Pittsburgh will. Big Ben is back on a team that was 8-3 last year when it scored more than 10 points. Defense is great. The coach is the most underappreciated in the sport. Wave those towels, Pittsburgh. Steelers win the AFC North. That is what I think. I want to know what you think. I have the poll question up on Twitter, at ESPN Greeny. Who do you have in the AFC North? You see the options. They are the obvious ones. And we'll check in on what you think here and later on the radio. Meantime, I have Rob Ninkovich back with me. And Field Yates gets up with us for the first time this morning. Field, I'll give you the floor first. What do you think? I have the Steelers winning the North. What do you think?
I think you're a little bit crazy, Greeny, but I still respect your line of reasoning. Let me give you the reasons why I believe the Ravens will be the chalk pick and will actually make good on that bet. And it starts with what we saw last year. I understand people are going to be stuck on the fact that they lost by 16 points in the playoffs against the Titans, but a much larger sample size of the 12-game winning streak they had to conclude last season, which included 8 wins by at least 14 points. And yes, they beat up on some bad competition, but they also, in a span of 4 weeks, played Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson. The closest margin of victory was 14 points. They handled their business against elite teams last year. And you mentioned in your speech right there, or I guess in your little short clip, that Lamar Jackson should be better this year. I also have one more player I'm really keeping an eye on. That is Hollywood Brown, their second-year wide receiver out of Oklahoma. He bulked up by 23 pounds this offseason, was red hot last year before a foot injury. I think this offense is going to be incredibly explosive, and the defensive line might be the nastiest in all of football.
All right, so I'm not surprised that I'm so far alone on this Pittsburgh island. Ninkovich, what do you think?
Greeny, I think those terrible towels have you hypnotized. Look, I don't understand where the logic is of the Steelers winning the division when they have the Ravens, who are the defending champs, and they have Lamar, who's going to have a better season than last year. So hear me out on this. We all know about the physical side of football. It's so physical. But now the mental side, and Ben Roethlisberger, let me talk about how hard it is to mentally overcome an injury where the last time he was on the field, Big Ben hurt his elbow. He's gone through a whole year of rehab. He doesn't have a preseason game to warm up. He's going to be on the field again. The next time he's back on the field live, he's going to be a little bit nervous. He's going to have to deal with the mental side of football. And look, I've been there. I tore my ACL. I can remember when I was back on the field the next time after that, I literally was crying because I didn't want to hurt myself again. So Big Ben, if it takes him a few games, 4 games, 5 games, I don't know. If he doesn't get back out there in the first game and get back to old form, I don't see how they can win the division.
I understand what you're saying, and you mentioned that in our meeting this morning, and that I think is a very good and important point. All I'm counting on is that if Roethlisberger has to be better than what they had last year, he should be markedly better, assuming that he is able to do it healthy. And again, I said it in the piece, they were 8-3 last year when they scored 10 points. Their defense was that good, and their quarterback play was that bad. I think that he should make them that much better. The Steelers are going to go 12-4. Guys, sit tight. I have much more to do with both of you as we continue. On the way, he might be the best player in the NFL, but does that make Mahomes a fantasy stud? The answer, it might not be what you think. Field Yates gets into that, and he will go after this. Sneaky Hembo time, and Yates, he's coming for you. Who was the last player to lead the NFL in fantasy points in consecutive seasons? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Good morning again. I'm Mike Greenberg in Bristol, Connecticut, and Get Up is brought to you by Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. It's streaming now for Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. Meanwhile, let me run the bases around the action for the majors yesterday. Pirates outfielder Brian Reynolds hit a 3-run homer in his first game back since the birth of his son, led the Pirates to a 6-2 win over the Cubs. First time father celebrated the home run by rocking the baby as he rounded the bases. Meanwhile, this was great. Mets players honoring the late Tom Seaver, wearing a smudge of dirt on their right knee, which was Seaver's signature look. Then in the 10th, Mets slugger Pete Alonso hit a walk-off 2-run homer to win the game against the Yankees. Clayton Kershaw with a milestone, his 2,500th strikeout against the Diamondbacks. He's the third youngest pitcher ever to reach that milestone. Only Nolan Ryan and Walter Johnson got there younger. Dodgers won the game 5-1. Meanwhile, back to Sneaky Hembo. So Field Yates, one of our top fantasy experts, is being put to the test. Field, who was the last player to lead the NFL in fantasy points in consecutive seasons?
Well, Greeny, I think the most obvious guess would have been LaDainian Tomlinson, but I'm going to zig because I know how Hembo operates. I'm going to go with Priest Holmes as my guess. He obviously had that incredible run with the Chiefs out of nowhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go. I finally got one of these.
I am stunned I have to admit, when I saw the when I turned the page and saw the answer, my first thought was this is unfair to poor Field Yates. But he got it right. He was number one in fantasy in 2002 and 2003. This is an indication of why you need to listen to Field Yates, as we're under a week away from opening kickoff and fans across the country are looking ahead to their fantasy drafts. For example, Field, I have my fantasy draft tonight, and I have questions I need you to answer. Perhaps no bigger question than quarterback. Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. If I have that option tonight, which way do I go?
Yeah, Greeny, I'm in that league, so I can't wait to see what actually happens. But the answer to me is clear-cut in fantasy. It's Lamar Jackson. Now, think about last year. Mahomes played in 14 games. He had multiple passing touchdowns in just 7 of those 14 games. Not great, but the number 7 is important. That's how many 30-plus point games Lamar Jackson had last season. We talk about the running all the time. Yeah, he's a good bet to go for 1,000 rushing yards again, but maybe we overlook the fact that he led the NFL in passing touchdowns with 36. He's the best dual threat quarterback perhaps we've ever seen in the NFL. And to me, the clear-cut fantasy number one quarterback this year. But fear not, Chiefs fans. It's obvious. The greatest player on earth right now is clearly Patrick Mahomes in real football.
Right. Those two things don't necessarily match up all the time. Very quickly, when do you take him? Obviously, the running backs all go. How early do you take Lamar Jackson?
I am more comfortable with a quarterback in the third round, Greeny. And this is about positional value. There is incredible depth at quarterback this year. Guys like Brady and Roethlisberger are going between the 10th and 14th round. I'm thinking more of the third round for a guy like Mahomes or Jackson. But the numbers right now on ESPN.com, ADP, suggest that both of those players will be long gone. Right now, Mahomes' ADP average draft position is 13th overall, which is just too early for somebody like me.
Okay, I'm writing all of that down here. Meanwhile, Field, let's run the hurry up with some other big questions. Let's assume Christian McCaffrey goes number one. Who do you take number two?
Yeah, it's Saquon Barkley. After he returned from the injury last year, Greeny, you look at his percentage of snaps played and also number of touches per game. It was number two amongst all backs in the NFL, behind only Christian McCaffrey. He's an incredible workhorse, and he is the best bet to take any carry 50 plus yards. Remember, he had 91 catches as a rookie. I actually think this offense is going to be pretty fun this year to watch with Daniel Jones at the control panel.
Okay. Who's the first non-running back to go off the board?
Yeah, it's Michael Thomas, and it's not close. He had 185 targets last year. 149 of them went for catches. Over the past two seasons, he's caught over 83% of his targets. When Drew Brees looks his way, it's going to be money in the bank. Now, he may not set that same record or break that 149 catches this year, but he doesn't need to. He also should be much better in terms of the touchdown department. Michael Thomas is the most reliable player in fantasy football, not named Christian McCaffrey. He should be going somewhere in the first round in all leagues.
All right, and then we've talked a lot about aging quarterbacks. Who's the first quarterback over 35 that you're taking?
Yeah, it's Drew Brees, and there's definitely a case for Tom Brady, but Drew Brees rolls out of bed, and if he stays healthy, he throws for 4,000 yards and 30-plus touchdowns. The weapons are sort of irrelevant because although he does have Michael Thomas, he does have Alvin Kamara, we think, with a new contract potentially as well, and Taysom Hill and Emmanuel Sanders. He has always been able to do this. This is like 12 years of Drew Brees just absolutely dominating in fantasy football. It is something that you can take great solace in. You know that if you have Drew Brees, he's going to have a high floor for you, and in many weeks, especially when he's playing at home, a very high ceiling as well.
That's awesome, because Yates and I are in this league together, and here he is giving me his secrets before our draft tonight at 8 o'clock. All right, Field, stay close, because we have breaking news this morning as well. This is from our Adam Schefter. The Washington football team is releasing running back Adrian Peterson. We had Diana Rossini talking about it earlier this morning, saying that she did not think it would come as a huge surprise to the people in Washington, but it came as a bit of a surprise to us. And I can tell you right now, I looked up the numbers when we first got this news right at the top of the show. 2 years ago, Adrian Peterson ran for over 1,000 yards in Washington. Last year, he ran for almost 900 yards as well. And I can tell you that Hembo sent me the story that this is just from June. So this is like a month ago, in which he said he plans to play 4 more years. So, Rob Ninkovich, right now, do you believe that there are teams out there that should be snapping up Adrian Peterson because he still will make a difference for someone this season?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/gift finder today. That's Macy's.com/gift finder.
Yes, definitely. If you're looking for an early down back, first, second down, you know, to just run straight ahead, get you a few yards, he's the guy for you. I mean, I am always asked this question, Rob, who is the hardest running back to tackle? And every single time I say Adrian Peterson, because number one, he is so strong. And I don't think now that he's 35 years old, he's any weaker than he was younger. He might have lost a little bit of speed, maybe a little quickness, but as far as strength goes, just running downhill, he's a guy you do not want to meet in the hole. So a team is going to have a need for a running back that can just put his head down and gain some yards, but he also has the ability to break some loose here. I mean, he's not going to break away from everybody, but he's still a reliable running back who can take care of the football and gain some yards for you.
And Field, I'm told that you have an interesting analogy to make to a basketball player that Adrian Peterson reminds you of at this stage.
Yeah, it's rare that we like to do these cross-sport analogies, Greeny, but to me, Adrian Peterson is akin to Carmelo Anthony of the NFL. You know, Carmelo Anthony is a player that maybe some of the analytics minds in basketball would tell you is, you know, basically a replacement level, and he was so for Portland this year. But we all saw how reverentially players treat and react to having Carmelo Anthony. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Blazers teammates were all holding him in the highest of standards, and he made some big buckets for them. That much is clear. Adrian Peterson is a guy that any locker room he walks into, you're going to have many players, dozens of players, who are looking up to him as literally their football idol because they watched Adrian Peterson and molded their game after him growing up. That being said, He is purely a first and second down runner. And we just saw this a few years ago with Adrian Peterson. He couldn't find a job until late April when he eventually signed a contract with the New Orleans Saints. You know what happened from there? He got traded because he couldn't play for New Orleans at all, ends up in Arizona, had to wait some time to get a job in Washington as well. The league does not hold that specific role in the same regard as they do a player that can play in all three downs, impact the passing game. He's a great leader. There are going to be players that will clamor for Adrian Peterson on their team, but I think he's going to have to be patient right now because I don't have an obvious suitor that makes sense in my immediate thoughts for Adrian Peterson's next step.
All right, so I am going to try and think of some obvious spots for him. Ninkovich brought up New England a little bit earlier here as a first and second down back who brings some of the leadership that you're talking about. Does that make sense, Field? I mean, let's find a spot that does seem to make some sense as we think it through. New England, Diana brought up Tampa. They obviously are jam-packed there and brought in a bunch of veteran running backs. Give me a spot as you think about it that might make some sense.
I was going to say Tampa Bay is just a joke now because it's like everybody who gets cut or is available goes and signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, I think people are going to ask about Chicago, Greeny, just because of the injury to David Montgomery, though the team had the opportunity to at least explore Leonard Fournette, and Matt Nagy said, you know, candidly, hey, we like our running back room. We're going to go with what we have. I don't believe the Patriots will be interested. They have a numbers game right now. They're already going to probably carry five running backs on their roster going into week one. And one thing to keep an eye on for Adrian Peterson is that if he is on a team's week one roster, his base salary for the year is guaranteed. He may have to wait until after week one is over, and then teams might be more interested in Adrian Peterson following an injury.
I'm just thinking through the idea of Tampa signing him. They would have Adrian Peterson, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and Shady McCoy. They would be a heavy favorite to win the 2014 Super Bowl. All right, we will take a quick break here. As we continue, going back to the Patriots, Cam Newton is the Patriots starting quarterback. You'll hear why one of my crew believes Cam and Bill is a match made in heaven. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.